come back. The idea that the government, the hidden part of the government, well, we could almost call it the deep state, I guess, is reaching out and controlling and influencing the millions in the masses out here nonstop is real. There are also specific individuals who have been targeted for interference and to have their lives really ruined and made just dreadful in many ways. These are victims. It's real. They look at us as sort of a plaything, a toy. They're constantly meddling, and it's not good. One of the people who really understands about this is with us, again, Professor Eric Carlstrom. He is a targeted individual, a TI, if you will, and there are a lot of people who have learned a great deal from him and rely upon him to continue bringing the truth about targeting individuals to the forefront. And so we're going to do that and other things this hour as well. Hello, Eric. Welcome back.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Thank you very much for that nice introduction. And yeah, it's good to be back. Yeah, it's a very, very complex subject. I have, of course, I've got a website which I started in 2016 called gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, and it now has about 2,500 posts. A great many of them I have compiled or written or put together myself, and a great many are from all different sources. And I, there's a lot of TI statements on there. So one gets the sense by going through the website of the nature of this crime against humanity, which has been ongoing for quite a while. I think you could look at it as a silent genocide. And it's a multifaceted crime. It does involve electronic weapons and street theater on the ground harassment, very, very high-tech military-grade weapons. I think really I have learned so much because I have been in contact with so many other TIs. And wherever I can, I put these statements on my website. I'll read you one if you want. This is something that I think is
good way to start. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a statement from a guy named Charles C. Karchner, who says he's a TI since 2005 and 2006. And he emailed me. He said, I came across your website, 911nwo.com, and have added a link to it on my website, torturedinamerica.org, which has been live since 2009. First off, it's a pleasure to come across someone else in America having some success, not being homeless or forced into SSI disability, even under these horrific circumstances. And he says, my targeting at the frenzied level of the TI began while I was working at a very Jewish real estate office, Coldwell Banker in Orinda, California, as a new agent and father, working alongside a highly educated Jewish, ethnicity not religion, elite from New York City, whom was my new agent mentor at the time. He made extraordinarily non-real estate agent comments to me when his shock and awe campaign, when this shock and awe campaign began, such as, quote, nobody can survive in a constantly negative environment, and what are you going to do, Charlie? Stand on the corner and shoot them all? And next one, the thing I love best about our relationship is that neither of us comes to the table with any ulterior motives. And then he said, this is my favorite comic strip ever, and I like breaking big rocks into little rocks, and the government is slow but relentless. I thought that was a particularly telling series of comments from somebody who obviously knew him and perhaps enrolled him in the targeting program. That can be done rather easily. You just nominate somebody to DHS, Department of Homeland Security, get a suspicious activity report going right on your neighbor's cat peed on my flower bed or whatever. And according to our friend, what's her name? The very, very smart lady who's all about wireless body area networks. Sabrina.
I haven't seen anything from Sabrina in months, Eric. Nothing.
Well, I have, and I've been keeping up with her. I'm very, very okay. She's erratic. Some of her stuff is brilliant. She's enhanced. She's an N2 survivor. She's a neuro. She's a government product. She has been mentally enhanced, and she's quite brilliant. We can get back to her later. But the point I was going to make is that she understands this program quite well too. In many ways, I learned from her, which is why I keep an eye on her channel, which is on Odyssey. Sabrina Wallace is her name, and she says $30,000 will get you if you're got a divorce you want to do your wife in or something, you can pay $30,000 to the FBI. Yeah, and they'll put her on the list for you, and then she'll be, slow killed, tortured to death with the stalking program. And $50,000.
Wait, do you think that's really true? In other words, if I had a problem like that, I could somehow surreptitiously contact the FBI, and for $30K, they would begin to TI somebody and take them out? Is she saying that's actually true?
Well, so here's what happens. Karen Stewart, one of our very, very, very credible TIs. She was a former NSA worker who was
a legendary lady. Yes, great.
Yeah, and she has, suffered enormously. She says basically the Pentagon sells kill contracts to their buddies in the military-industrial complex. So this is being farmed out. This program is being farmed out to the military-industrial complex, Targeted Justice Incorporated, which is another group that I follow out of Houston, has just sent in their newsletter a story to the effect that a judge in Virginia has ordered CACI, which is a contractor, military contractor, to pay $14 million per victim in Abu Ghraib torture chamber there that was going on in the Iraq war. So that's the price of torture, according to. But what's happening with the TIs, of course, is this is a silent Holocaust, a silent genocide. Nobody sees what's happening. They are being hit with neuroweapons, directed energy weapons, over time. And it's debatable how much this is quote unquote biomedical experiment, and how much this is just retaliation, punishment for somebody who's somebody else doesn't like. I think a lot of different things are going on, but I think we need to start talking about restitution, because if their judges now finally saying, well, okay, torture's wrong, we don't want to support it. In fact, we're going to make CACI cough up this money in they say $3 million in compensatory damages and $11 million in punitive damages per victim.
Now, okay. Quick question: how are people going to prove that they're a TI? What would you suggest? How are they going to prove that they're actually being mind blanked with advanced tech? How do they prove that in court so they can get compensated?
Yeah. This is a very, very good question. There have been some successful lawsuits. There was a fellow in Wichita, Kansas, by the name of James Walford, who had an invention.
Was clipped out. What's his last name again? They clipped it out.
Walbert. James Walbert. W-A-L-B-E-R-T. He had a business partner named Jeremiah somebody or other, who actually stole an invention from his mind. See, they can read your mind, and they can take your creative output. He was smart enough to be able to prove this in court, and strangely enough, the judge kind of gave the Jeremiah whatever his name is kind of a slap on the wrist, but didn't really give him a punishment. There have been some very, very smart TIs that have amassed an enormous amount of evidence of what has happened. And these legal cases are a tremendous resource for TIs to how to do it. There's a guy named David Larson in Southern California, who also put together a tremendous body of evidence in his law cases. He had implants. And, of course, this implanting of humans goes back to the MKUltra programs as early as 1959 with MKUltra Subproject 119, where they're talking about the remote activation of the human test subject. And of course, there's also biosensors in the test subject. Those would be the implants. And this is about the time, of course, that Delgado was doing all his experiments with monkeys, where he put these chips and stimulus in their brains and could get them to do pretty much anything he wanted, because remote electronic control with the hardware in the body with these implants allows many, many channels of communication back and forth, like the human being is now a radio. And they can play with your moods, they can play with your emotions, they can play with your memories, they can play with your dreams, they can play with your bodily functions. You see some videos of TIs, and this is horrible to watch. I mean, their arms flying up in the air, their legs flying, they have no control over it. So this is a torture experiment, among other things. And I personally, Jeff, I've come to the fact that the idea that this may well, if you're biblically oriented, this may well be the beast system. It is, I think, very much related to the smart cities and the control that the powers that be want to exert on humanity through cryptocurrency as allotted to the human slave, really biorobot slave, based on their body activity. And this is in the Microsoft 060606 patent of 2020. So this is all coming out at the same time as COVID, which does seem to be related to this process of, you know, turning the human body into a wire so that we send and receive information and then can therefore be controlled. Now, one of the TIs that I have a lot of information on, one of the TIs that I feature, is a guy named Robert Naslund from Sweden. And he, again, very determined, smart guy, does not want to be a biorobot slave, but he was turned into one non-consensually. His first implant was non-consensual. He went into a hospital for some reason in 1967.
Wow. The peak of the experiment was just getting underway then. They were doing all kinds of things.
Yes, it's very important, I think, to kind of keep these years in mind, because what we're really talking about is a program to enslave humanity. And not just, you know, some people. I mean, they want to enslave us, the general population. Now you're going to have your value chain partners, you know, or the...
Right. Right. Absolutely right.
Yeah. They're going to run the system. But the rest of us, I think, and of course the dummies who buy into Elon Musk's, you know, Neuralink chip, they're going to be easily controlled. I'm sure there's going to be some benefits of
that. Eric, if I might suggest that they have technology now already developed, maybe not deployed yet, that will make chips almost silly. It's all being controlled through EMF. They're lacing what comes out of your smartphone with all kinds of things. What comes out of your television, from whether it's cable or satellite or DVD, they can encode all of these things with message systems that go into your body and begin to rearrange who you are without you even knowing it. You'll never know.
Yeah, and of course the COVID shot you know, they did not tell us what was in it, did they? And you know, a lot of people are saying metamaterials, self-assembling nanotech, graphene, smart dust in the sky, you know, that's coming down from chemtrails, etc. So it is coming at us in many different ways. They do look at us as chattel and as goyim or cattle or beasts to be experimented on, to be enslaved. And this, of course, is the title of our talk tonight, is the protocols of gang stalking. And, you know, it does, I think, fit into the to the long-term plan, you know, enumerated in the Protocols of Zion, or the Elders of Zion, which came out around the late 1800s, and is a war plan and a declaration of war at the same time, and a strategy to conquer the world. But this is not a new strategy. This is a 3,000-year-old strategy, at least.
That's right.
They've kind of gone into hyperdrive since that time. And I think that the Tavistock Institute, which is very much a Rockefeller, Rothschild operation in the city of London, which I think had a great influence on CIA's MK Ultra and the Macy conferences, and the Rockefellers had a huge influence on the Nazi experiments. All of this, I think, is to bring us to transhumanize us, turn us into biorobot slaves, cybernetic slaves. And I, for one, will vigorously resist this for myself and for our species, because I think the people that want to enslave us are not people we need to bow down to, or should ever bow down to those people, because these are very evil. These are Satanists that are driven by a satanic agenda.
That's right.
And so, you know, the protocols of gang stalking, specifically on one, I've got about three or four posts that are on my gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website that are named something like the protocols of gang stalking. And the one that I think I mentioned maybe in the show notes actually has an 18-minute video, which is quite good, by a ministry. Let's see if I can find it here. By a Christian ministry, which talks about the spiritual component of this, and traces this back to the Psalms, King David describing a fairly good description of gang stalking.
Back then? Wow.
Yes. Yeah, Psalm 64, and the quite a good little 18-minute video. And then he talks about the gang stalking in the Bible, or in the New Testament era, the stalking of Jesus and the apostles. Remember in the book of Acts, maybe some people will remember in the book of Acts, 40 Jews decide, they take a vow that they're not going to eat until they kill Paul, the apostle Paul, who was one of them, a Pharisee who confessed to Christianity. So they were kind of particularly mad at him, but they also wanted the basic strategy against Jesus. So what you see is that the Pharisees are the gang stalkers, and what you see now in so many cases in which people are really, really smart is that here's what Stephen O'Keefe, the Canadian artist, said. Jewish mob stalking works like this. Jews pass your photo and details around by mobile phone and conspicuously stalk you wherever you go. Once you start discussing it or taking their photos, they complain to authorities that you're insane and obsessed with Jews, a Nazi, white supremacist, or potential terrorist, and that you must be watched very closely and that Jews will help. Hey, that worked pretty good, didn't it? Now white males are considered the number one terrorist threat in America, right, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Strategy worked good. And then he goes on, helping by the Jews means setting you up for ruination, which benefits the police state, which protects Israeli interests, and that's usually a white supremacist rally, violent outburst, or terror event where a mob stalking victim is absorbed into the Jewish profiling. This culturally Jewish method of profiling and stalking someone to ruin would have existed before technology made it easier. Yeah, like 3,000 years ago. Perhaps explaining why Jews have been exiled from so many lands, 1,009 in the last 2,000 years. For instance, if I couldn't, but then he goes on and on. This guy, Stephen O'Keefe, is an artist who was quite a good filmmaker, and he was actually taking videos of his stalkers and calling it out play by play, watching them come around the corner, going into the alley, going through a back door, and you get the sense that these people don't do anything else except for stalk, you know, that they live for it.
Did he ever confront any of them directly and call them out?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I do that sometimes. You know, I like to be unpredictable. Some, you know, probably the best strategy is to ignore them because, they want a reaction from you so that they can measure that and then tailor their next attack on your last response. But sometimes I like to confront them, you know, and usually you find out they're not very smart. They're not very...
No. This is almost... bottom of the barrel stuff, so I wouldn't expect
it. It's kind of bottom of the barrel stuff. They're following orders, you know. If somebody said, I'm going to tailgate that guy, or, you know, turn on your headlights, or cut him off over there, on the road, or follow him, you know, whatever. There's a thousand different little tricks that they do. By the way, this is a program that NATO, the CIA, and MI6 used a lot of these techniques against Europe, Western Europe, after World War II, to keep the Communist Party out. At that point, it was a real right-wing group of people that were using this, called the Stay Behind Armies and Operation Gladio, which happened in Italy. The problem, you know, you kind of mentioned this last hour when you're talking to Gerald, Jeff. The problem is that the American people don't know anything, you know. I mean, if I sit here and I talk about MK Ultra and COINTELPRO and the Stay Behind Armies and Gladio and down the list, Phoenix Program, because each of these is well documented, you can read books about all of them, and they're all horrific torture programs, murder programs. But if those words are meaningless to people, we have a difficulty kind of communicating. Fortunately, I think people are starting to wake up to MK Ultra now, you know. But these government operations are very cleverly concealed. I mean, FBI concealed COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program, 1958 to 1972, completely. Until guess how that it got the whistle got blown on that. There was a John and Missy Raines. He was a theology professor, you know, not a terrorist. He's a theology professor at some university. He said, this has got to stop, these crimes that our FBI is committing. So he and Missy broke into the FBI, one of the FBI offices, during Super Bowl, because they figured all these national security guys.
Good thinking.
Yeah, they're all going to be drunk watching the Super Bowl, yelling and screaming like maniacs, which is exactly what they do. The world is a football game to these guys, you know, and they're on the winning team, and they're the heroes, and the bad guys are the ones that are taken down, and that's their mentality. And anyway, so John and Missy Raines blew the lid on COINTELPRO. Now we know that these are the guys that killed JFK Martin Luther King, and of course, CIA and DOD and all those things were all involved in the JFK murder.
Well, that's one of the most pathological portions of the swamp, of course. And getting rid of that is not going to be easy.
Not at all. But, you know, I keep digging and I keep digging. I just ran into a great interview with some very knowledgeable people talking about the Noahide laws, and I suppose you've heard about those through
today. I've talked about them many times.
Well, you know, watch out for the Noahide laws, folks, because again, this same synagogue of Satan has a plan, and they've already got it in effect in 1991. House HR bill, I think it's 401, was passed with almost nobody paying attention. It was Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, who was the Reb. The Rebbe. He's the guy that Trump's daughter, Jael, and her husband, Jared Kushner, went to his gravesite on the eve of the 2016 election and prayed to the dead Reb.
You know, Trump, Benny Shapiro took Trump to pray before Schneerson's tomb about three, four weeks ago. And tomb praying was done by Trump again, right back there. So He's a Lubavitcher, in a de facto sense at least.
No, I mean, he's head of the, he's very important to the Lubavitcher. But the, this, in fact, in 1991, they passed Education Day USA, dedicated it to this guy, Schneerson. And, and that
read some of his writings if you want to read hate, by the way. Schneerson, look it up.
Yeah, the name sounds like hate. But it this was passed in 1991 as the basis of Western civilization, which it is not. But the seven laws are for Goyim, that is to say non-Jews. And the first one is you shall not worship idols. And the Schneerson types, the Lubavitchers, would say that worshiping Jesus Christ is worshiping an idol. And there is only one penalty, and that is chopping off your head.
No, they don't, they don't make any exceptions. That's it.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Look up the right Noahide there. Laws, everyone, if you want. N-O-A-H, Noah, right? Y-D-E, okay. Noahide, H-Y-D-E, laws, you'll see.
Well, and now we've got the death penalty in the United States, and now we've got Trump saying anybody who criticizes the Jews is an anti-Semite, and if anybody wants to destroy them, we're going to destroy you. This is what he said in a recent speech. So obviously he is totally on board with this synagogue of Satan agenda. I don't know if he's totally on board, but he's giving lip service to punishing by the death penalty.
That's right.
Anti-Semites. And this is a bit alarming to me because, of course, you pointed out last time, I think, or the time before we talked, that a recent law in Congress says prohibits anti-Semitism and then defines what it is. And one of the criteria for being anti-Semitic is to say or believe that the Jews crucified Jesus Christ.
You can't even say that. And there's worse examples. You're not allowed to question anything because that's hate. That's hate.
So they turn everything back on us. You know, everything they do, they accuse us of doing. But this is preposterous. It's like saying, the sun is not in the sky or
it's completely preposterous. I couldn't agree more. What is anti-Semitism? It's you having your own God-given right to a different opinion, which in many cases they don't want to hear. So they call that anti-Semitism. This is all silly, and it's all stupid, but it's all very dangerous, too.
Extraordinarily dangerous, as I think I mentioned last time, just as we were kind of ending it up. Vladimir Lenin, you know, the first year he was the president or whatever in the new Soviet Union in 1917-18, first thing he did was purge, that is to say kill a million.
How many?
At least a million. In the first year.
Oh, it was way up there, yeah.
Yeah, and then the second thing he did is he made it anybody who criticized the Jews would be also killed. So Trump is starting to sound a lot like Vladimir Lenin. This alarms me. Let me just also just pull out the reason why this alarms me. I mean, you shouldn't criticize these people, but here's what Menachem Begin, Israeli prime minister, said. He was, by the way, in the terrorist Stern gang. This is from a training manual for that terrorist group that stole Palestine from the Palestinians who'd lived there for 1,700 years. Menachem Begin said, "Our race is the master race. We are divine gods on this planet. We are as different from the inferior races as they are from insects. In fact, compared to our race, other races are beasts and animals, cattle at best. Other races are considered as human excrement. Our destiny is to rule over the inferior races. Our earthly kingdom will be ruled by our leader with a rod of iron. The masses will lick our feet and serve us as slaves." Hey, fun guy, this Menachem.
Know them by their words, and you just, again, read Schneerson. There's some pretty ugly stuff out there. I don't know many Christians who write like that.
No, I don't think so. No. And know them by their deeds. What have they done to Palestine since they stole Palestine?
200,000, in my view, 200,000 slaughtered, massacred. They're, again, selectively targeting children to shoot them through the head, shooting pregnant women. These are facts. These aren't my opinions. These are facts. And yet nothing is being done to stop it. Nothing can be done to stop it because they have nukes, hundreds of nukes. And they've threatened, made it clear, they'll use them if they're facing any kind of an existential crisis.
Let's be clear about this. This is a horrific mass slaughter. It's a mass genocide on a scale that nobody alive has ever seen. And like you say, they're getting away with it. America is supporting it, which is a disgrace.
Oh, let me jump in. Trump is not going to cut off one penny to the Israeli war machine. In other words, Trump is a globalist genocidal maniac by definition for paying for the slaughter of all of these human beings. He is a genocidal maniac by virtue of not cutting the funding off that makes it possible. How much more simple can it get?
Right. Well, he's on board, according to Dr. Lorraine Day. He, in fact, is a Jew. And according to Lorraine Day, 9 of our last 14 presidents have been Jewish. And if he's a Jew, and I think he is, then it would be 10 out of 15 now. The 10 out of our last 15 presidents will have been Jewish.
Well, yes, that may or may not be particularly relevant. I think you agree, because they've all followed Zionist instruction. They don't play a game because they remember what happened to John Kennedy, who did not follow Zionist instructions to leave Israel alone and not demand inspections for Dimona to find out that the Jews were stealing plutonium from America and making bombs, which they did, and they made lots of bombs. So they killed John Kennedy for that. It's clear. There were other reasons, but this was the primary, in my view. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, comparing presidents, if we go back to the first, George Washington, he made this statement, and it's in a book, Maxims of George Washington, by A.A. Appleton and Company. They, the Jews, work more effectively against us than the enemy's armies. They are 100 times more dangerous to our liberties and the great cause we are engaged in. It is much to be lamented that each state long ago has not hunted them down as pests to society and the greatest enemies we have to the happiness of America. Now, there was, I guess, a great president who believed in America. So now we have a president who's willing to kill anybody who criticizes the Jews. I'd say the trajectory's gone the wrong way. We lost. Yeah. I'd say that the Jews won.
This is the Zionist states of America now, in many ways.
Yeah. Here's what Napoleon said. We must look at the Jews, and of course this gives the historical perspective that this is a long-term problem. We must look at the Jews not only as a distinct race, but as on aliens. It would be a most awful humiliation to be ruled by this, the most base race on earth. So I look at America as just utterly humiliated. I look at America as defeated. I look at it as it's corrupted. It's ugly. It's disgusting. When you see what Americans are doing, you know, I guess I'm throwing out a lot of quotes, but, Alexis de Tocqueville, who was a French historian, came over to the New Republic back in the early 1800s, and he wanted to see how, you know, what's going on with this new experiment. And he traveled all around the country and then wrote a book, and he said, America is great because Americans are good. When Americans stop being good, America will stop being great. I don't see Americans as good at all. I mean, I'm being gangstalked by Americans. You know, so these guys got a little paycheck going, or they've got a little club, you know, that's having fun wrecking other people's lives. I mean, it's not only not good, that's satanic. These people are satanically energized. I think they have corrupted us from within, and that was the program of the cultural Marxists, of course, the Frankfurt School, etc. Antonio Gramsci, the Long March Through the Cultural Institutions. You know, those were the writings of these revolutionary Jews back in the 1920s. realizing that they couldn't pull off another Russian revolution here. They were going to do it slowly, and this is exactly what has happened. We have been overtaken by the worst elements, worst possible elements, and it is of biblical proportions because we're dealing with the synagogue of Satan. And the synagogue of Satan has, I'll summarize what the program is here. This is a very interesting conversation between two rabbis, or one Jew and another rabbi this is a Rabbi Louis Perez, who's ex-rabbi. He got fed up with it, and he kind of told tales. He said, okay, here's the essence of the Jewish strategy to overthrow God and take over the world for Satan. Number one, step one, take authority from God in their teachings with their Talmud, Zohar, and Kabbalah. That's Kabbalah being their system of satanic black magic. Talmud being, I don't know, 36 or 50 volumes of rabbinical sayings. The teachings of men that make the word of God of none effect according to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Step two, establish man-made authority in their teachings. Now they replace God. Again, Talmud, Zohar, and Kabbalah. Step three, once they have established their authority, dehumanize all non-Jews, the Goyim, the cattle, the Gentiles. Make them animalistic. Get rid of the best of the Gentiles. And the Talmud said the best of the Gentiles kill. And make servants of the rest. And the Talmud says God made Goyim in our to look like humans so we would not have to be served by donkeys. Step four, rabbinic pedophilia. Once all the good people are gone or enslaved, the children have nobody to protect them from rabbinic pedophilia. Okay, so yeah.
But, you know, I had let me just give a little anecdote here. I had a friend. She is a Palestinian. I'm not sure where she's living now, but she got the hell out of Gaza. She was living in Rafah. There was an apartment building there. I think it was about 5-6 stories tall. I've told this story before. She lived in the apartment building, and the Jewish military took over the top, the roof of it, so they could set up observation and so forth. And they were very quickly told that they would have to feed these Jewish soldiers with food and water, bring them food and water every day, living on the roof of their apartment building. So she was responsible in some cases of taking the food up every day and so forth. And she said, she made it quite clear, in many cases, she would see them either directly engaged or having just engaged in, we'll call it homosexual activities. And she said that they tend to be sexually perverted, aggressive. I can't attest to that personally. I'm just telling you what a Palestinian professional journalist told me, and I did believe her. I thought she was quite honest, always was. But these people have an issue with sex. It's an odd thing. I don't know why, but they push it all the time in the movies, in their own entertainment business. They've certainly taken our morality down. We know that. There are just many things going on. Who invented and created and runs and operates the entire porn industry? Jews. It's their province. They know how to take Gentile and Goyim people down with this kind of immorality. They use porn as a tremendous weapon against an honest, sincere culture with morals. And it's a terrible thing to see happen. And now children can pick up any cell phone and punch in a few numbers like breasts or boobs, whatever, and they're going to see at least softcore porn. It's everywhere. And so, again, I go back to what I said. The war on children and the war on childhood pretty much disqualifies us as being called a responsible species. You don't do that to children. The magic of childhood should be protected above all else, and it's not.
Absolutely right. Yeah, what's happening to the children, what's happening to the TIs, what's happening to the Gazan Palestinians? We talked last time, I think, or time before, about the electronic genocide in Rwanda. They managed to cover these things up. You know, 1.1 million Tutsis, and yeah, I looked it up later, Jeff, and come to find out they're Christians, and they were the intellectual
elite. Oh, really? I didn't know. Yeah. There you go.
They were the intellectual elite. They were the aristocracy. They were the Christians. And so first, this is how it's done, divide and conquer, of course. The CIA is very good at this, and MI6, and of course Mossad. They're all kind of one thing. But the neo-colonial powers. The Hutus were, I think, something like 17 million. The Tutsis, about 1 million. They had a revolution. They fomented a revolution in which the Hutus took over power. And then it was sometime later that they orchestrated some events to get tremendous ethnic hatred. And then they ethnically cleansed the place and got rid of the Christians. They are now ethnically cleansing, of course, Gaza, one-third of whom are Christians. I mean, two-thirds are Muslim, one-third are Christians. And, you know, I think a Muslim life is just as important, personally. I do not look at these people as beasts or cattle or insects as Menachem Begin and the Jews do. But, yeah, they have a satanic impulse, which is, I believe they are satanically oppressed or possessed. The rabbis certainly are doing these ceremonies, calling in, it's called theurgy, calling in, you know, good demons, bad demons, angels, whatever, to help them along their way, get what they want. And so they wind up, I think, with possessed so often. And Tex Mars, of course, talked a lot about this, Christian pastor, who also worked as an officer in the Air Force. And he was tremendous authority on both.
He was, I think he was Air Force intelligence, Tex.
Well, I'm
pretty
sure. I don't think he was intelligence, but he wasn't in communications. And
All right. Go ahead. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was kind of a communications.
He knew what was going on. Let me put it that way.
Well, one of the things he said, Jeff, was that back in the 70s and 80s, whenever there was a new weapon system, that came online, it always went to Israel first.
Yes, yes. And don't forget the Intel chip. Remember the little advertising logo? It's Intel inside, the Intel chip in your computer, Intel. Intel chips are apparently virtually all manufactured in Israel, or certainly controlled by manufacturing in Israel. And every one of them is said to have a back door in it.
Right.
So they're all penetrated anytime the people want to do it. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll just follow up on that. Whitney Webb has talked about this, how Robert Maxwell, the super spy kind of spying for four different nations, but certainly England and Mossad and Israel, he was able to kind of trick American high-tech companies into taking this promised software. And then Israel had a backdoor to all of our operations.
Yeah. Danny Cossolaro was murdered over the promised software.
That's right.
The
writer. And then that evolves, you know, into Prism and Palantir and all these others, you know, which are generally run like Palantir is run out of Denver now with Peter Thiel and Alex Karp.
Is it? Yeah, I didn't know.
Both are Jews. You know, Alex Karp is, and they're getting these big mega contracts.
They moved to Denver. I didn't know that's where it was headquartered. Interesting.
Well, I think the New World Order in America has moved to Denver in a lot of ways.
You got it. I was just going to bring that up. There's a lot of activity. People, heavy hitters, moving to Denver, the Denver area, Colorado Springs, whatever, in that area. They have an enormous underground facility there, apparently, under the Rockies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's Cheyenne Mountain, and that's right outside of Colorado Springs. And that's, as we've mentioned before, that's where our continuity of government took over operations for the United States and the world on the day of 9/11, according to Webster Tarpley, that there was a group that took over in continuity of government rules as a drill for sometime in the future, could be next week, when they did decide to declare martial law. So they drill everything many, many times. And it's all very confusing, but it gives us a lot to do to try to figure out what's really going on, you know. But we do see the patterns if we study them. And again, Tex-Mars understood these patterns very, very well, both on the spiritual level and the geopolitical level. And you know, it's very difficult to kind of cross that barrier and hold those two different worldviews in your brain at the same time. He could do it with the facts. And, you know, quoting scripture and then giving the historical dates for this, that, and the other. Really remarkable kind of mentor, really, for me, in a sense, to try to reconcile those worlds. And, of course, I have had to do that to some extent. Living in Crestone, Colorado, we've talked about my extended series is Crestone Baca, the Vatican City of the New World Order, an expose on the New World Religion. Well, what is the New World Religion? It's all New Age, Kabbalism, it's Judaism. You Judaize everything. So now we come back to, you know, they infiltrate everything. So the Catholic Church is Judaized, the Protestant Church is Judaized, and the you know, all the New Age.
As Father Paul Kramer said right here on the program, and I mentioned it first, he completely agreed. I asked him, I said, isn't it a fact that Zionism has overthrown the Vatican? And he said, absolutely. So there you go. The bogus Catholic Church in the Vatican now is a Zionist-controlled mechanism.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, look at our Pope. I mean, this guy's actually...
Oh, no, you look at him. I know. Bergoglio is a fraud's fraud. He's a globalist. He's sickening.
It really is. It really is disgraceful. And there's so many good Catholics that it's, you know, you can't write off the church, but you
1.3 billion of them.
You
world.
Can sure lament.
I'm not saying they're all great, but there's a hell of a lot of them, and many of them are real believers and pious people.
Many of them are very good people. I've sure met a lot of good Catholics, but it is very sad. I think Pope Paul II was Jewish, and I think this guy's Jewish, and not only Jewish, but homosexual and probably a pedophile.
Come on, look at his fate. Look at him. I mean, you can't always tell people by their... or a book by its cover, but you can come pretty damn close with a good guess. Yes, he's disgusting. Well, he was the man, you got to remember, who overtly led, although I think there were many people behind it, the overthrow of Pope Benedict the 16th, who was literally arrested and held in isolation for the last 9 years of his life. That's the truth. Overthrown.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I say, I think this guy, John Paul II, that everybody loved, I think he was a wolf in sheep's clothing too, because he brought the Catholic Church to the universal church that accepted everybody, you know, and now you have, you know, all the different religious leaders. It's called the ecumenical interfaith movement, and that's what I saw at Crestone so much, and that's all, you know, New World Order stuff. New World Order needs a New World Religion, which means you merge all the religions, which means Judaism comes out on top, you know.
Sure.
But anyway, let's talk about anti-Semitism a little bit. We've got a few minutes.
3 minutes. Two to three. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got a little post here that when I was running for the board of Property Owners Association in Crestone, I didn't want to do it, but I thought, you know, somebody sane needed to get in there and try to help. And I got this hit piece from a British guy who's, I think, MI6 or something in Crestone. There's a lot of agents there in a tiny little town. And, you know, he called me an anti-Semite and a conspiracy theorist. So I did a little piece on the terms conspiracy theorist and anti-Semite. And, of course, these are pejorative terms that are meant to stop thought, you know, and oh my gosh, you know, I can't say anymore. But it turns out Semite refers to a group of languages in the Middle East, a great many of them, and one of them is ancient Hebrew, and then, you know, Phoenicians, Canaanites, Chaldeans, Arameans, Babylonians, Assyrians, blah, 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 blah. So it's got nothing to do with modern Israel. Actually, the fact is we have a reconstituted Hebrew language now in Israel. The Khazarians came with Yiddish from you know the European area, but they you know a smart Jew figured out kind of how to resurrect, no pun intended, the Hebrew language, and so they are using Hebrew, but it is just one of about 50 Semitic languages. So the Jews, in fact, in Israel are anti-Semitic because they're the ones that hate the Palestinians, and they've got the Semitic language. And then it was in 1860 and 1870 that two Jews started to use the word anti-Semitic or anti-Semite, but they used it in a positive sense because they knew that everybody hated the Jews. Mm-hmm. I'm anti-Semitic. They were bragging, you know. And
got
now
it. Got
it's
it.
More. You have to understand how liars work.
20 seconds. Got to run.
Everything is a lie with these guys. There's no lie that's too big. There's no lie that's too small. They live by the lie and die by the truth, according to Bobby Fischer.
I concur. And I can spread that across the line to virtually anybody in big-time politics. Liars. Don't trust anything. Nothing. Thank you, Eric. You be well. Be safe out there. Good job.
Thanks. Good night.
All right. Professor Eric Carlstrom. All right. We will be back with you tomorrow, Friday. Be careful. Prepare. No joke. All right, we'll talk soon. Thanks for being here.